kaboom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic, a sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
In the air, everywhere, as we are back at it. Happy Saturday. Glad you have found your way. You've sashayed your way into the magic podcast world here, the Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. And as a gift to you, the listener, another podcast unsullied by David Gascon. The ratings are going to be through the roof on this podcast. We do it now because, hey, listen, 4 hours a night, not enough, 8 days a week. And we thank you for subscribing and finding this podcast. It is available on the iHeart Network, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. And there are a zillion ways to get this podcast. And as always, if you want a personalized video shout out, even a Maller monologue, a mini Maller monologue, you can do that on cameo.com. Just search my name up. It's not free, but it's not much. And that's on cameo.com for a big birthday, wedding, bar mitzvah, you name it. I don't know. We're all good. We're all good on that. But we are joined because west of the 405 cannot rear his ugly face. So in his place, a wrestler, a man who has popped up on this podcast in the past, making his return engagement, the great Ryan Smith. Is here with no, and you don't have any canned sound effects when you're introduced, I noticed.
No, I do not. All I have is just anger for Kawhi Leonard right now. That's all I have.
Yeah, Ryan, the reason we're allowing Ryan to do the podcast is because he's a good human being. He's a good person. He's a Clipper fan. And you're just a better person, Ryan. I think you should be running the company. I think you should move up because you understand, in the compound where we work, we are surrounded by infidels, these Laker historians everywhere you turn. You're one of the few, you're one of the proud, you're one of the brave, a Clipper fan.
Every Laker fan I've talked to was so happy that the Clippers were eliminated. I don't know why they care about us, but they were just so happy that the Clippers got knocked out.
Well, I'll tell you why, Ryan. First of all, the reason that the Laker historian is bothered by the Clippers is because Clipper fans are authentic. The Clipper fan is real. Anybody can be a Laker historian and talk about all the greatness of the Lakers and all that. That's easy. Being a supporter of the Clippers shows you've got moxie. You've got gumption. These are things that the rank and file of the Laker historian fan base does not have. They don't have this. Like, they get so upset. Like, on the overnight show, I know Roberto and Coop go enraged over the great Clipper Daryl. Clipper Daryl is more authentic than anyone that has ever attended a Laker game. And it bothers them. The Lakers appeal to the Hollywood phonies and everything that's wrong with L.A., the Tinseltown. The Clippers appeal to the working class. They're the people's team. And it drives them nuts. They cannot handle this because that is the reality. You know how many emails I've gotten? The Clippers are going to go to Seattle. They're going to leave. They're going to go to Seattle. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I talked to a girl once. She's a quote-unquote Laker fan, and I asked her why she hates the Clippers so much. And she looked at me straight in my eyes and said, well, the Clippers don't even play in the same arena. That's why. I'm like, wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's going to be even more embarrassing. Like the people who follow the Lakers are like, well, get out of Staples Center, you know. Have you seen the design of the new arena the Clippers are building in Inglewood? It is the Taj Mahal. It's going to make Staples Center look like an outhouse by the time this place is done. And so the Lakers will be playing at an inferior arena. They have an inferior owner. And it's got to be annoying. I understand why I would get upset too. The Clippers are, they're not the new kid on the block. The Clippers have been in L.A. since the mid-1980s they moved from San Diego. It's not like they just showed up all that. Now, the first 30 years they were in L.A., they were terrible. But yeah, it is frustrating watching the NBA Finals with Giannis Antetokounmpo as mostly a decoy. And the Sun, I'm telling you, Ryan, I look at that Suns team. I'm not impressed. Are you impressed, Ryan, with the Suns? They were beatable, and the Clippers didn't have Kawhi Leonard, and you felt like they were matching them blow for blow until game six.
The Suns had the easiest path to the NBA Finals, and it's not even close. Every series, someone was hurt. They got lucky. They lucked out.
And the difference between the Suns, and the reason it's more blasphemy, is we've seen this happen where guys get hurt, but usually it's like in the NBA Finals or something like that, or the Conference Finals, but not every round. I cannot recall every round of the playoffs. I remember people bring up Kawhi Leonard and when he was with Toronto and they won. And obviously they won in large part because Golden State collapsed because of injury with Klay Thompson and Durant getting hurt in the NBA Finals. But before that, it wasn't like every team they played in the Eastern Conference had a star player hurt. Literally and figuratively, every single opponent the Suns have had has had one of their top players or two of their top players not there. I want to pull what's left of my hair out here, Ryan, with this. When people say that, no, that's not true. Come on. It's ridiculous.
Well, at least we can finally say what I've always been saying to everybody, that Doc Rivers was the problem.
Yes, yes. And also, the dum-dums are, well, the Clippers, they didn't want to play the Lakers in the playoffs. They had the opportunity to choose the path they want. They chose the right path. They would have won the championship had Kawhi Leonard not gotten hurt. So those idiots that were like, I can't believe they lost to Houston and Oklahoma City at the end of the regular season. That was genius. Do it again. And listen, you mentioned Doc Rivers, the stooge. How good a coach is Ty Lue? I was worried, Ryan, as a fellow Clipper guy, I was worried that he just rode LeBron James' coattails with the Cavs, and I was like, I don't know if this guy can coach at all, but he proved himself. He absolutely proved himself in this playoff run. The Clippers have one of the better coaches in the NBA. That's awesome.
He's a good coach, but I'm kind of blaming him for the Game 2 loss against the Suns on that last play. He should have told his players, look, this is what they're going to do. And I don't know, maybe he told Cousins to do something, but Cousins didn't do it. I don't know what in the world Boogie Cousins was thinking.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know who I blame? I blame DeAndre Ayton, who grabbed Zubat's jersey. And if that was outside the arena, that would be assault. He would have been charged with assault, and he got away with it. And the referees giving the Suns, what, they have half an hour to come up with the final play, and they could draw seven different versions. And, of course, a wink and a nod. We'd be remiss if we didn't bring up Paul George, by George, who famously missed two foul shots. Two. Make one. You miss the first, you make the second. That's how you're supposed to. Ryan, you could make one of two. I could make one of two. I have no athletic ability at this point in my life anymore, but I could make one of two. I could flash back to Moneyball Maller and make one of two. I could.
He choked.
He did. He did. And they still should have won the game. Even with that, they still should have won the game. The Clippers outscored the Suns by 17 points the first five games of the Western Conference Finals, and then the rug got pulled out from underneath them in the final game. But man, oh man, oh man, enough. All right. Anyway, that's not that. That was some hot Clipper talk. See, Ryan, that you're a Clipper fan, I can do hot Clipper talk. When that other guy west of the 405 is here, when his pompous ass is here, I can't do that because he's a Laker historian. I'm not allowed to do it.
He's a bandwagon fan.
Yeah, he's a typical west of the 405 guy, la-dee-da and all that. Name dropper. He's got that smarmy arrogance to him. And as a Clipper guy, we're men of the people, right? We're relatable, clearly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so I have Sweet Spot. I've got that. Also, we've got Pop Quiz, and we'll get scientifical before we get to Pop Quiz. We didn't even have time last week for Pop Quiz, so we have some Pop Quiz questions standing by. But the Sweet Spot story is rather simple. So the podcast is about me, I guess. I know it sounds awkward saying that, but the people on the podcast, about us. This week it's about me and Ryan, because Ryan's in the podcast here. So some of my cousins, I have cousins all over. The Maller family, the tentacles of my family are all over the country. Most of them no longer in California. I'm one of the few people left in California. So I have family in Arizona. I have a lot of family in New York, Chicago, Wisconsin, Michigan, some in Florida. Like, they're spread out all over. Like, all over the place. So some of my cousins were in town from Michigan, right? And it was really good to see them, considering I hadn't really seen anybody. None of us had with the whole COVID thing, at least extended family. So my cousin Marcy was in town from Michigan, and her husband, John. And, you know, seeing my cousin, it brought back great memories, because I remember going to family reunions. And this is my dad's side of the family. And there was like this connection immediately. It was like I'm flashing back to when I was like 13 years old or something like that. It was great. So I went over to see them. They were in town. And I had a grand time with a couple of hiccups, though. And so I thought the perfect platform to vent would be the podcast. And so I'm going to vent to you about the hiccups at the Maller Meet and Greet Family Edition. So first of all, my wife is a social butterfly. She absolutely loves these type events, and I typically loathe them. Now, I like seeing family, but the social engagement, I'm an introvert. So I like them to have limits. My wife is an extrovert. She does not believe in having any limits. So we cruised over to my cousin's house for a meet and greet with my other cousins and them, and this was behind the orange curtain in Southern California. So I'm sitting around the living room there, and we're all telling stories. We're all telling stories. That's what you do, right? Family get together, you tell stories, right? What have you been up to the last year, year and a half? They were asking stories about my dad and, you know, everything that went on his last few days. And so after about 15 minutes, I start sweating. And I'm like really sweating. Like I'm sitting in a sauna. It's extremely hot. Now this is at night. It's not during the day. We're indoors, and it is just oppressively hot. It's like I'm in the Sahara Desert. And I'm thinking, well, they must have the heater on. What is the heat index here? This is insane here. It got so bad that my glasses started fogging up. I'm like, I'm just sitting having a conversation. It was very awkward. I had to take my hat off and wipe my brow because there was sweat coming down. It was unbelievable. I was like I was in a fitness club in the sauna. So later on, we were getting a tour of a beautiful house, and we walked by the air conditioner, and I noticed the temperature in the home. And at that time, the temperature was, what do you think it was, Ryan, in the house? What do you think it was?
98 degrees.
Now, it wasn't that hot, but it felt like 98 degrees. It was 83 degrees. Who the hell keeps their house at 83 degrees? What, Ryan, where you live, what do you typically keep the temperature?
As cool as possible, but my AC unit sucks, so it's usually like around like 87, whatever. It's hot.
Oh, that's terrible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am a big believer in living in an icebox.
Yes, me too.
You cannot get cold enough, and so I always have my air conditioning. I keep it insanely cool, especially during the day, which is the worst time. But I sleep during the day, so I have to have – I can't sleep if it's hot, if I'm sweating and all that. So anyway, so this is – I get back to the story. So to me, that's an insane indoor temperature. You know, to each their own. It's not my house, whatever. So I'm trying to deal with it. And then – the next thing that really was a hiccup for me is, and it was very polite, very cordial, the host of the event brought out a tray of gigantic homemade chocolate chip cookies, like the size of your hand with all your fingers extended, like that big. If you got a, I got a big hand, maybe you don't. So here's the problem, Ryan. So I wouldn't have had an issue with it. I mean, I'm staring at these gooey, delicious chocolate chip cookies, and I can't touch them because I had already started my fast. You know, I am a hardcore intermittent faster. So once I stop eating, once I put the fork down, I'm done until like the next day. And so I'd already started my fast, and it was late at night, and I don't like to, you know, I don't like to eat late at night. Anyway, that's just kind of my mishigas. And so I'm staring at these unbelievably great looking cookies. And it reminded me of back when I used to go to the ballet. And you know, when you go to the ballet, Ryan, you can look, but you can't touch. You know, that kind of, like, I could look at the cookies, but I couldn't touch the cookies. And then the other hiccup here is this thing dragged on and on. Now, I think you're a little bit like me, Ryan, although you were a wrestler, so maybe you're more of an extrovert. But I'm an introvert, and I believe that these events should have a cap on them. I believe that. And so this went way past the two-hour mark. And on the way home, I had a conversation, and I explained with my social butterfly, my significant other. I said, listen, these social events should be like Vegas shows or movies. You know what Vegas shows and movies are like, Ryan?
I have a vague idea.
Yeah. They're 90 minutes. If you talk to anybody who does a Vegas show, 90 minutes. That's the perfect amount of time for a show. 60 is not enough. People feel like they haven't gotten their money's worth at 60 minutes. Anything over 90 is a little bit too much. The people want to go out and do other things. They don't want to be there past 90 minutes. And so I tried to explain this. My wife disagrees. She thinks these things should go on as long as possible. She's upset that we stopped after like 2.5 hours. She wanted to keep going. And so my belief is about a 90-minute cap. Less is more. That's my strategy on social events. Leave them wanting more. Am I wrong, Ryan? Am I bad to think that we should cap these things at 90 minutes?
It depends on the show.
Yeah. No, this is a family event, though. I'm talking about a family event. I'm talking about getting together with people that I like, that I've seen. I haven't seen since, you know, a lot of them since I was a kid. I haven't been able to see them in years and all that. But I'm still like 90 minutes. Oh, 90 minutes is good. That's what I'm talking about. 90 minutes.
Okay, I think you're right. I think you're onto something. Now, for me, that's too long to be around anybody because I just don't like people. So I would go less than 90 minutes, but okay.
Well, I'm okay for 90 because my wife will talk 60 and I can do the other 30 and then I'm out. So she'll talk most of the time. She could talk all 90 minutes. But yeah, if I was by myself, I'd be good with about 10 minutes and then that's it. And then get out of here and go do something else. That would be my strategy. But it was crazy. It was like one thing. It was like a Three Stooges or a vaudeville comedy act, right? Which is the Three Stooges where you had the, I'm fasting. They bring the cookies out. I'm sweating. My glasses are fogging up. You know, it was just like the whole thing. The whole thing was one thing after, and it was a colossal series of errors that took place there. But that was my big getting out, my big weekend.
You didn't say away. Anything that it was too hot? You just said nothing?
No, I wanted to be polite. I didn't want to be rude and all that. I just wanted to be polite and just kind of, you know, not be a douche. And so I thought I would be a douchey thing to say.
It's a nice way of going about it. You can just say, do you mind if I live? Because that'd be great.
No, but nobody else complained. I was waiting for somebody else to complain. Nobody else complained.
It only takes one. Then somebody else will say, you know what? He's onto something.
So that would have started like the trickle-down effect, and everyone would have started singing the blues about how hot it was.
Yes. Yeah. I think so.
All right. Well, next time. Hopefully there won't be a next time where it's 83 or 80. You know, I'm sure by the time we got out of there, it was probably like 87. And, I mean, geez, I can't imagine. They're warm-blooded people, I guess, but I'm cold-blooded. I like it cold. I like it cold, absolutely.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, so let's get scientifical. Scientifical. These are science stories that I have found around the internet, and I thought they were interesting. I wanted to bring them up. So one of the great debates that many people have, if you're in a relationship with someone or just in a family, one of the debates that often happens is over toilet paper and how to properly hang toilet paper. Over or under. There are two ways to hang toilet paper. We all need toilet paper in the modern first world that we live in. So how is the correct way? What is the correct way to hang toilet paper? Now, first of all, before we... I have the answer, by the way. But Ryan, are you a over or under toilet paper guy?
Over. That's easy. It's always over.
All right. So I agree with you. I'm an over person. My wife comes from a family of unders, okay. Under toilet paper. I've also dealt with this. I have relatives that believe in the under technique with the toilet paper. But big news here. We now have confirmation. This goes back to 1883. You know who Seth Wheeler is? You ever heard of the name Seth Wheeler?
Sounds like a radio host.
It does sound like a DJ. But no, Seth Wheeler is one of the most important people in the history of the world. He patented, he was the inventor of the toilet roll. Think about that. If you lived before 1883, you did not have a toilet roll. You did not have that. But Seth Wheeler, his genius, his innovation, he's been dead for many years, and we still use every restaurant, bar, hotel, you name it, that has a bathroom, every house, every apartment, they have the toilet paper roll. And this guy invented it, and he was granted a patent in 1883, and in the patent, they went back and looked at the patent, it reveals the proper way to hang toilet paper on the holder is over the top. So if you're hanging it underneath, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. You're violating the memory of Seth Wheeler, the inventor of the toilet roll.
Now, do you go cheap on the toilet paper or do you go all out?
Let me stop you right there. Let me tell you, this is one of the, I am very frugal. I'm a tightwad. I'm a noted tightwad. Like I'll reuse plastic forks, like that kind of tightwad occasionally. But when it comes to toilet paper, I'm on the Upper East Side. I'm buying the most expensive Charmin I can get, like the, you know, 7-ply, whatever. I'm all about that. I want comfort for my tuchus is what I want.
Yes.
And so I will spend what, yeah, because that cheap toilet paper sucks. It's terrible.
Let me give you some advice. Whenever you're going to a job for the first time, check to see what type of toilet paper they use. Because if it's cheap, the company's cheap. That's a fact.
Are you taking a shot at the people we work for?
I said no such thing. I said no such thing.
Because I have seen the toilet paper that is in the building there. It's not particularly good. And here's another thing. Fun fact. Here's a fun fact for you, Ryan, on this toilet paper. So the story that went back and looked at the patent from 1883, experts are warning that if you hang the toilet paper underneath, you increase your risk of coming into contact with bacteria. It's a health risk. So you're risking the health of people when you hang the toilet paper roll under instead of over. It's a great life lesson right there.
I did not know that.
It's a great life lesson. All right, moving on. Let's get scientifical. So there's a strange signal that is coming from the Milky Way. Have you seen this story recently? And they're trying to figure out what's causing it. This actually goes back to the day before my birthday, April 28th. And they've got all these ground radio telescopes that are trying to hear aliens in space, and they never hear anything. This time they did. Right? They finally heard something. Holy crap, right? That's big. They detected an intense pulse of radio waves. How about that? Radio waves. You think there's other DJs out there in the cosmos, in the Milky Way somewhere? Now, unfortunately, it only lasted a few milliseconds. But the people in that business, the astronomers, were said to be completely gobsmacked and astonished. And this is seen as a major discovery. It represents the first time ever that what they call an FRB, a fast radio burst, radio waves, had ever been detected this close to Mother Earth. And they estimated that the radio waves came from a location in the galaxy, they say it's just 30,000 light years from Earth. So it's within the Milky Way, and they're still investigating. I don't know what kind of investigative work you can do, but that's pretty cool. Pretty cool. I think it was like a sports radio show. They were doing sports talk, and they shot the radio waves up, and it came all the way to us.
Yeah, they were saying stuff like, Tom Brady's a cheater, stuff like that. Yeah, makes sense.
You wash your mouth out with soap and water. How dare you?
What? He's a fraud.
How dare you?
No.
You're a phony.
I hate Tom Brady.
Yeah, he hates you, too.
Good. Good.
Yeah. Go buy some of those TB12 electrolytes or whatever.
Yeah, I'll use it for toilet paper.
Just think, like we send radio waves out when we broadcast, not on the podcast, but on radio. Do you think there's some goblins and aliens out there?
I don't think they're goblins.
No?
No, I don't know. No goblins, no.
No goblins.
No.
All right. What if they look just like us? How disappointing would it be if there's aliens out far out in deep space and they just look like us? They're just like human beings like us. Wouldn't that be a bummer?
I'm pretty sure, especially because of last year, when aliens fly past Earth, they roll up their windows. I'm pretty sure.
They don't want to get COVID, so they roll.
They want no part of us. They're like, F this. No, we're not doing it.
Yeah. If we still had Neanderthals walking the planet, they'd be like, they'd be more into the Neanderthals. Is that what you're saying?
Probably, yeah. Most likely.
Yeah, I got you. Speaking of Neanderthals, they say in the science community says the common cold likely predates humans. And the plague affected Neanderthals 700,000 years ago. How the hell do they know this, by the way? I don't get that, but that's what they claim. There's a lot of maize, coulds, a lot of weasel words in these science stories or thinks like this one. The NASA administrator, this guy named Bill Nelson, thinks, that's a thought, not a confirmation, thinks there is intelligent life in the universe beyond our own. Well, of course, if you ever go to a place where there's not a lot of sun poisoning outside the city and go out to the desert or the ocean, far offshore, and look to the heavens, I mean, the math on that, your mind's going to explode thinking about that. Come on. What's up with that?
And we still can't cure the common cold. Nice.
Yeah, not just the common cold. I mean, there's like you look at cancer and all the illnesses. Like, I think the answers, though, are here. We haven't found them. Like, all the problems are on Earth and all the answers are on Earth. That's been my theory. Like, to every illness, there's a solution somewhere on the planet. You just have to find it. That's the hard part. Well, good news. Good news from the science community. We will all be saved by China. China has announced a plan to launch a rocket fleet. The goal of the rocket fleet kind of sounds like what President Trump had planned, the space fleet, space army, whatever it was.
Space Force.
Space Force, yeah. So China, taking a page out of Trump's playbook, they're going to come up with their own military plan. They're going to launch a rocket fleet to divert a apocalyptic asteroid heading towards Earth. So we'll be saved by China, assuming this works.
I'm at a point in my life now where I wouldn't mind if that asteroid hit Earth.
You'd be good checking out. You'd
I'm
be
good,
like, that's
man.
It.
Okay. Man, I'm good. Right. I'm good.
Okay.
Just do it.
All right. You had enough. That's it.
C'est la vie.
Arrivederci. Catch you next time. Nice. All right. Let's see. What else do I have here? Well, this is bad news for you, Ryan. Loneliness can take years off your life. Are you a lonely guy, Ryan? You don't like people. You don't want to hang around with people, right?
Yeah, but when I'm by myself, I'm happy. So it's totally fine.
All right. Well, according to a report out of Singapore, a medical school in Singapore revealed that adults over the age of 60, so you don't have to worry about that, at least for a few years, say that sometimes or always people that feel lonely, they end up dying up to 50% off is actually like 1% off. Anyway, up to 5 years sooner than their contemporaries who don't feel lonely. So try not to be lonely. And if you're happy by yourself, then that's fine.
I think these happy people, quote unquote happy people, are upset that I'm happy because I'm by myself and I want to be left the hell alone.
Well, that's true. That's true. Like when I was at my fattest, people always said, "Why don't you lose weight? You should be more like me. You must not be happy." I was like the happiest I could possibly be, eating as much food as I wanted. I loved it. I was a fat ass. I was morbidly obese and I loved every meal. I didn't feel bad. I moved around fine. But everyone was like, "Oh, you should really lose some weight. You should be more like this person or that person." They're like, "No, I'm perfectly content. I'm perfectly happy." But the problem with that is when you get older, you can't do that because it does.
That's just an old wives' tale.
You think so? Yeah. You ever gone to a retirement home and seen fat people? There aren't many there. There aren't or tall people for that matter. That's the other thing.
I'm screwed then. Yeah.
I'm screwed too. So, how tall are you?
I'm 6'5".
I'm about in that same height too. So, yeah, we're screwed. All right, a new report. Let's get to this is the pop quiz portion. We'll do a few pop quiz questions and then we'll put the baby to bed. So, a new report says that you are more likely to give this item as a gift than you are to ever buy this item for yourself. So, it's something you would never buy, but you would give someone else as a gift. What do you think this is?
Condoms?
Condoms. All right. Wow, boy. Wow. Okay. You ever given condoms to someone there? Maybe a date. No. The answer is a blender.
Blender. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big blender guy. I like the blender bots, but I'm not a big blender guy. So, yeah, I've never bought a blender. I don't know if I got one when I got married. That sounds like a gift you'd give someone who gets married.
Right? Yeah.
Buy them a blender.
That's a marriage gift. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it sits in a box in a cabinet for 30 years, and you're like, oh, we had a blender. All right. This is the first thing that most people think about every single day. Everything. First thing you think about every day. What is it?
Why do I have to go to work?
No.
Really?
Sleep. No, it's sleep. It's like, why? Can I go back to sleep?
Huh.
Can I... You hate your job, don't you, Ryan?
Just no, no.
You hate working.
No, that's
just admit
not true.
It. Come on, you
that's
hate
not
it.
True. This is a great place to work.
You're lying. Your nose is growing.
I'm very happy here.
It would be a better place if they paid you more money.
I cannot confirm or deny those comments.
Yeah, if they gave you more time off, I mean, a little more money, a little bumpity bump, you know? Just saying. Yeah. All right. A new survey asked people what they miss the most while working from home. This was the most common answer. What is it?
I was never working from home, so I couldn't tell you. I was always here.
No, you don't need to brag. You don't need to brag.
No, it's not bragging. I'm mad.
You're mad? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you happen to choose a job that you cannot do. At least they won't spend the thousands of dollars on the equipment that is required for you to do it from home. So.
I could have died. Just saying.
Just think of the hoi polloi. Think of the hoi. Yeah, I know you could have. Yeah, in the empty hallways of FSR, yes, when no one's around. But what do you think it is?
Oh wow, I don't know.
All right,
I'm stumped.
This is actually good because it's good for people like us that work in this business. According to the survey, the thing that people miss most while working from home was listening to the radio on their commute. Listening to radio. Do people realize you can listen to radio at home? I know nobody does that, but you can listen at home. You don't have to just listen in the car. We have a lot of people that listen to the podcast that aren't in the car.
Mm. I don't think a lot of people listen to the radio at home. I think they're usually watching TV or getting drunk.
I disagree, Ryan. I believe in my head it's like the early days of radio, and people sit around in their nice chairs, and they focus at the magic radio box and just listen. Mm. Everything going on. No, but we actually get a lot of people. I get email from people that have insomnia, and they're trying to sleep, and they'll turn the radio on as like a little background noise and listen to the show while they're in bed, and they can't sleep. And so we do have some of those people. But I would obviously agree. Most of our listeners are live listening audiences, like truck drivers, security guards, people working in factories, donut shops, you know, whatever, police, criminals, both sides. We got everybody.
Criminals.
We do. I've had people call up that are a little shady there, Ryan. Little shady cats out there listening to the Sports Talk Radio. Heck, we had a listener, Half Pint, that's currently in jail, and I got sent her rap sheet, and it's like War and Peace. It just keeps going on and on. It's like a phone book. It's just, oh, my goodness. Holy. She's had a busy life there, running from the law. All right, you will use about 16% less water if you use this product. I know you're very concerned about your water consumption, Ryan. You spent a lot of time thinking.
If you
about
use
this.
Less?
You will use, no, listen close. You'll use about 16% less water if you use this particular product.
Salt, I don't know.
Salt. Let's get salty. No, it's foaming soap.
Foaming soap.
Yeah, who the hell cares? Am I bad for saying I don't really care? I don't mind foaming soap. I'm okay with foaming soap, but I'm not going to get worked up over it. Let's see. Americans spend nearly $2 billion a year to fight this. Something that most of us have. Some of us worse than others.
Hemorrhoids.
Hemorrhoids. Oh, boy. You ever had hemorrhoids?
Oh, no, thank God. Jesus.
Oh, I've had them. Boy, that's something to look forward to. Holy crap. Mm. No, the answer is bad breath.
Huh.
Yeah. Most people don't realize they have bad breath. It's other people pointing out they have bad breath.
Yeah, you never really smell your own breath. You don't. It's weird.
you really have to have horrifically bad breath. Or for that matter, like a lot of people don't realize they have body odor, like BO, right? They don't understand that because you're kind of used to your own smell.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's a problem. $2 billion a year to fight bad breath.
Just brush your teeth, people. It's, you know, it's not that hard.
Brush your teeth, a little mouthwash from time to time. That's what you got to do.
Floss in there, you know.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah. About 60% of people say this happens to them nearly every day. It involves their phone and email. What is it?
They get a lot of spam?
Yeah, look at you. Look at you. You got it right. Good job by you. Yes. Get a spam call, spam text, or email.
I get a spam call at least 3 to 4 times a week.
Yeah, it's terrible. I actually recently, because I'm living in a halfway house right now. I'm in the temporary home before I move again in August. And so I sold a house for the first time ever. I'd never sold a house. And so I sold the house, and you have to fill out all this paperwork and all that. And a lot of that stuff ends up getting shipped around, a lot of your personal information.
Yep.
So as a result, I have been inundated over the last couple of weeks with spam calls. And I every time I block them, it doesn't matter. It's like whack-a-mole. You block one, three more pop up. It's nonstop.
I don't know how they do it. They like figure out that, oh, this person's blocked this number. Let's call from a different number.
Yeah. Well, and they have, what I've heard is they have endless numbers because it's all these numbers are just generated digitally. So it's like they have a computer that just generates different numbers to call from. So you literally and figuratively cannot win a block the trolls, block the spammers. You can't do it. You can't win because they'll just pop up with a new number 5 minutes later.
Sometimes when I'm bored, I'll answer and I'll just mess with them.
Yeah.
You know?
The ones I've been getting a lot lately is your car warranty is coming up here and you need to call us back to extend your warranty.
I was coming to work. I was going on the elevator and I kid you not, I guess they got into the phone system and that same message about renewing your car warranty was playing in the elevator. I almost lost my freaking mind.
Wow. Really?
Yes. I was like, are you kidding me? In the elevator?
What's up with that, man? What kind of, you got stuff playing in the elevator? Look at you, man. You got a big elevator there, a nice shiny mansion. You big condo building?
Not at all. No, no.
Oh, okay.
I wish.
You wish. All right. You dating anybody, by the way? A new survey says this is the riskiest food to order on a first date.
Taco Bell.
No, oysters. I don't eat oysters. I don't know. You ever eat oysters? You an oyster guy?
No, why would you order that on a first date unless you think you're going to get some?
I don't know, man. I'm not an oyster guy. I don't like seafood.
Seafood?
I don't like seafood. No.
Lobster, crab?
No. I live a meat and chicken based diet. That's pretty much it.
You gotta get some gumbo in your life, man.
No, I got no gumbo. I got no gumbo at all. All right, that will do it. I believe we're good. Yes, I think we're good on the Saturday podcast. And Ryan, you want to promote your Twitter if people want to follow you on Twitter? How can they find
you? Ryan McBain on Twitter and Ryan McBain on Twitch.
Now, I'm not going to say the people that listen to this are bad at spelling, but you want to spell that the last name just in case they
RyanMcBain. Very simple.
Very, very simple. Yeah, there are a couple different ways to spell Ryan. Actually, there are a couple different ways. But anyway, listen, have a great Saturday. We'll be back with the Mailbag podcast on Sunday, and we'll catch you then.